And we're back. Hooray! I'm back from vacation. This is Tom Harris, and welcome to episode number 32 of Tom Harris USA from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And the weather outside right now is just absolutely gorgeous. I wish it would stay like this for the whole year round. It's nice and cool. It got very warm during the day, but not too warm. It was nice enough that I didn't actually need a jacket. But it was also cool enough that I never felt hot. And I just want to thank people for bearing with me. This show is probably going out a day late. I'm not sure if I'll finish this show in one recording session or not, or whether I'll have to continue it. But I've been having a problem with my video card. And this is, as you may recall, the video card that I got just a few months ago. This was the one that was in Pete's old computer. And as soon as I got back from vacation, I booted up the computer first day back, and it was all glitchy, and I was having all sorts of horrible image problems. And the first thing I thought of is, oh, God, you know, the motherboard is going. And of course, because I'm you know, going to, obviously, I just jumped to conclusions about what's wrong. But I, after doing a little bit of research on it, I figured out that it's probably the video card, and that is what I think it is. So what I did today was I opened up the computer, went and got some spray air, and sprayed off everything, cleaned out all the dust. There wasn't that much in there, really. I was expecting a lot more in there. And made sure that the card was seated, made sure that the RAM was okay, just kind of cleaned things out a little bit in there. And put it all back together, and knock on wood, not that I'm superstitious or anything, that hopefully it'll work. So far, so good. But I was getting all these horrible artifacts on the screen when I was in, especially when I was in Firefox, but also when if I tried to play any kind of game or anything that had any kind of 3D graphics. So I do think that the computer's going to have to be replaced. It's 8 years old. It's been through a lot. It's going to, you know, I'm going to squeeze every bit of use I can get out of this computer, though. So hopefully that has fixed the problem, because I'm not having that problem at this second. But it may come back, and it may indeed turn out that I need to get a new video card or bite the bullet and get a new computer. Well, that's something I really can't afford to do right now. Now, I know the question everybody is asking is, what's Chris Reardon like in real life? Well, I will get there. I will get there and talk about that in a few minutes. But the biggest thing that people had been asking me about, and one of the things that was very much on my mind throughout my entire trip, is whether or not I would have a job when I got back. Well, I am happy to say that for the moment, I still have my job. And what it was even better news was that I got a paycheck this week, which I wasn't expecting, because I didn't think that I had any vacation time left. But apparently my boss has kind of either forgotten or had decided to ignore the fact that I didn't have any vacation time left, because I took a week of vacation in April. As some of you may remember, Pete and I went to upstate New York. I did get a paycheck, and it was an entire paycheck, and hopefully I won't have to pay back my week's worth of vacation pay. But I don't have any more vacation now until next year. So I have, basically, I've used half of next year's vacation. And considering that I'm not expecting to have this job for very much longer, that's actually very generous of them to allow me to have vacation pay for this 2 weeks that I've had off. And I did get pay for both weeks, so that was very kind of them. And hopefully they won't notice and make me go back and pay them back. That would be terrible. So I do, for now, have a job. So let's talk about London a little bit, because this is kind of the most vivid in my mind right now of the places that I've been. Now, we started out the trip 2 weeks ago Saturday, which would have been the 15th. Was I had an 8-hour flight to London, and I didn't sleep at all on the flight. If I slept at all, it was, you know, a matter of just a few minutes. And they had crappy movies. I got to watch the Dragon Ball movie. Oh, that was a thrill. I got to watch Wolverine, which I was, and this going into my little series of comic book movies, and this is one that I hadn't seen, had not really intended to see. But the Wolverine movie wasn't that bad. It wasn't that good either, but it wasn't that bad. And it was adequate. It was okay. But it wasn't as good as, say, Iron Man, a movie that I actually kind of liked. So that was what I watched. And then there wasn't really much else on the program that really interested me. I flew on Virgin Airlines. I mentioned this in a previous show. It's the first time that I've actually traveled on that airline. I'm having a bit of a throat thing right now. If it's not sinuses, it's always the throat thing, isn't it? But anyway, the entertainment on the plane wasn't very brilliant. And I got to London about 8 a.m. and I hadn't really slept. And I had to hang around the airport for about an hour after I got there because I had to meet Paul, my best friend Paul, who was my traveling friend, as Chris Rudin put it. And I had to wait around at the airport, and I just kind of waited by the baggage claim for him to show up. And sure enough, he showed up a few minutes late, but not horribly late. And we rode the tube into London, because it was a lot cheaper than taking the Heathrow Express, and we weren't in a hurry. So the place we stayed, and I promised Leanne that I would do housing reviews of the various places where we'd stayed. Now, the first place that we stayed, and we were there for 3 nights, was the Belmont Hotel. And that is a fairly inexpensive place. It's over by Paddington Station. It wasn't the worst place I stayed. It wasn't the best place we stayed. It was very small room, two twin beds. And it was in a vintage building, like a Georgian coach house sort of building. They're very typical of these row houses in London that, you know, have been there for, you know, a couple hundred years. And we were all the way on the top floor, the third floor, which is actually four floors up, because the in Britain, you know, the first floor is not the ground floor. The ground floor is the ground floor. The first floor is what we would, in the States, would call the second floor. But we were all the way up on the third floor, all the way up at the top, four stories up. And we had this nice view. And the name of the road that the hotel is on is called Sussex Gardens. Now, they had the worst ensuite restroom I've ever seen. And part of the problem, and it wasn't entirely the fault of the restroom facilities, though the restroom facilities were absolutely bizarre. They had it was probably a walk-in closet. And they crammed in there a toilet, a sink, and a shower. And there was about enough room in there to turn around. And then there was the shower. And because this was a really old building, the floor leaned. I mean, it sloped downward. Very, very strange. And I had to sleep my bed. You know, imagine a room that's about 7 foot across and about 20 feet long. And you have a pretty good idea of the sort of the room we were in. And the floor had a slant underneath my bed so that I felt like I was going to roll off the bed constantly, because the floor actually had that much of a slant. Now, Paul said that his bed actually slanted downward and he felt like he was going to slide off the end of the bed. But mine was more, you know, I thought it was going to roll out the bed. And it wasn't that cheap. But at least it was reasonably clean. It wasn't a nice place. Yeah, London has so many options, and especially in this little area called Sussex Gardens, which is where we were, which is right, it's literally about two blocks away from Paddington Station. And I actually went back to that same area later to find a place at the end of my trip, but it's a very, very convenient place to stay, though it's kind of far away from the center. Now, Paul told me that we were supposed to be staying at a B&B in the center of London, and that was not quite true. Although the Belmont Hotel did have a breakfast, and it wasn't a brilliant breakfast, but it was a cooked breakfast, you know, just your standard baked beans, eggs, for the meat eaters, bacon, sausage, which I didn't have. And so that was pretty, you know, much, you know, standard cooked breakfast. At least it wasn't that continental. But I hate it when you pay £40 a night or something to stay in a hotel and they give you tea and toast. That's just really, really annoying. But anyway, no, so this place wasn't too bad. And Paul and I spent that first weekend just kind of wandering around London. And we didn't go to see any of the big tourist stuff. Now, both Paul and I have been to London enough times now that we've seen all that already. So we didn't go to the Tower of London. We didn't go to Buckingham Palace. We didn't go to any of the major museums except for one. I'll talk about that in a minute. We did go see the Wallace Collection. And that's something that I had never seen before. And I guess Paul had seen it, apparently, or seen pictures of their collection in books or something. And they have this really incredible collection of arms and armor. So swords and glaives and halberds and, you know, armor of all sorts and, you know, from all around the world, mostly from Europe and from India. You know, the various places in the British Empire that actually had, you know, armor and things like that. And they had some old Viking swords, and so Paul was very interested in seeing those. So we actually went down there. It's free, like a lot of the museums in London, it was free. And the only bad thing about it was that we couldn't take any pictures while we were there. So that was a bit of a bummer, because they had some pretty cool stuff in there that I would have liked to have taken pictures of. And then the third day, before we went up to Newcastle, we actually went and saw the British Museum. But both of us had been there before, so we were just kind of looking at just a few select things. And he wanted to look, and I mentioned this in a previous show, Paul is an expert in flint knapping, which is, you know, how to make flint tools, like Stone Age people did. So he wanted to look at their collection, what they had on display of various snapped flint tools. And so we looked at that, and that's very interesting to me too, but it was fun. And just kind of wandered around a little bit in the museum. That was pretty much it as far as the tourist stuff. The rest of the time we kind of shopped around for things. I should mention this now. The day before I left, I made an impulse buy before I started out on the trip. And what I bought was a pair of ex officio travel underwear. And I have to say, that was the best purchase I've ever made before a trip. And especially considering it was an impulse purchase. I will never go on another hiking trip without ex officio travel underwear. You can literally have two pairs of this underwear and go on a hiking trip of any length and never have to worry about it, because you wash it out and it dries overnight. It's fantastic, and it's so comfortable, and it never chafes. It's never, you know, I had a problem with the cloth underwear. I took along three pairs of cloth underwear, which is a, you know, huge mistake. And then I got the ex officio, and I never wore the cloth underwear except for when we were doing laundry, because it was, the ex officio underwear are so superior. Literally, you can just go on a trip with just these two. My satisfaction level with my shoes, however, was somewhat less than that. And I will get back to that when I start talking about Hadrian's Wall Path, which is what we did the following week. So we spent a lot of time looking for a gift for Paul's wife, because whenever Paul goes on a trip, he has to get an expensive gift for his wife. I guess it's kind of a peace offering for her letting him out of her sight or something. I'm not sure how that works. And incidentally, I'm trying to get Paul to listen to my show. He is not somebody who spends a lot of time on the internet. He has email and so forth, and he watches YouTube's videos occasionally. But he's really not the podcast type. So I just want to do a shout out to my very best friend in the world, Paul Schweikart, who was my traveling companion on this trip. And I hope that he will tune in to the show. And we did talk about the show quite a lot. And so each and every one of you who listens to my show, at least the ones who I know who you are, because there's a few still, of course, that I don't. He's heard about all of you. we had to talk about something on the trail, right? And unfortunately, we didn't get the chance to hook up with Mystery Woman on the first weekend of the trip. I did connect with her later when I came back to London, but well, I'll talk about that a little bit later. But there are a few things that happened in London just while we were wandering around that are... One of the things is it was quite remarkable. And what happened was I was approached on the street by somebody claiming to be an Indian holy man. And, you know, whenever somebody comes up to me on the street, my first impulse is that it's somebody who wants money. It's a panhandler, because that's something that you find here. And I was right, of course. And I want to talk about him, but I'm not going to talk about him on this show. I'm going to talk about him on my show about cold reading, which I have coming up pretty soon, because he did this wonderful little sleight of hand magician's thing where he did this math tricks and things to try to make you think that he had some sort of powers. And if you know what to look for, you can kind of see right through it. And I knew that he was somebody who was just—he was going to wind this up with a pitch. He wanted to get money from me, but it was really interesting. But I will talk about this in the future. So don't let me forget. If I go for more than like five shows and not mention this again, I will need somebody to remind me maybe. So the other thing that this was extraordinary. And this isn't something that I noticed a lot in the UK, but we had one of the most bizarre customer service experiences that I have ever had. And this was at the Paddington Station ticket office, because we had to go the day before we went up to Newcastle and get Paul's rail ticket to Newcastle and our seat reservations for that trip, because we wanted to sit in the same the same coach. We went up to the window, and it was a wait. It took us a good 10-15 minutes to wait in the line and get up to the window. And there's this guy there, and the guy's name was Brian. I remember seeing his name tag. And this guy Brian worked in slow motion. He spoke slowly. He moved slowly. And it wasn't as like he was just a slow person. Didn't seem like that. It seemed like he was doing it deliberately. Deliberately working as slowly as he could. And it was very much like, oh, well, you can take this train up and it'll cost this much. And then you can take this train up, and it'll cost this much. And he moved in slow motion, and as though he found us incredibly tedious, which we probably were. I was laughing, so I don't know why he was doing this. But he did these long, exaggerated yawns. So he ever so slowly raised his hand to his mouth and yawned. And it literally took us about 25 minutes to get Paul's train ticket and get his seat reservations both ways from London to Newcastle and then from Carlisle back to London. It took so long for him to do this that it became a joke for the whole rest of the trip, you know, of Brian and his slow motion customer service. Is that common in the UK? Can some of you UK people maybe let us know if that's typical? Because it really wasn't. It was just bizarre. It's not something you'd find here. And he wasn't rude or anything. But and on top of all that, he got the reservation wrong coming home. Because I actually, I had a rail pass already, and I talked about that in the last show. But I had to get a seat reservation as well, going up to Newcastle and then coming back from Carlisle. Except that I was going from Carlisle to Gloucester, and he booked me a reservation from Carlisle to London. And that's a different train. It's not even the same train. So I had to go. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. You know, in most cases, if you're not on it traveling at a peak hour train, you don't really need a seat reservation. Because there's always, on Virgin trains at least, there's always a car or a section for people who don't have reservations. And there's always, you know, perfectly good seats available. So, anyway, the train travel was actually very interesting. So anyway, Monday, we went to Belushi's, and I know that a lot of people had kind of anticipated this big meeting with Chris. And we went to go to Belushi's to, of course, to see Chris Reardon and to sing karaoke and just kind of have a nice time out. But I was so exhausted that day that was the day we went to the British Museum and we'd wandered around all day. We kind of went back to the hotel and took a disco nap. And then it came time to go out. And I was just not in the mood to go out and sing. You know, I knew that I needed to go. You know, this is something that had been planned and that we had, you know, I had warned Paul in advance before we even went on the trip. You know, this Monday I'm going to Hammersmith to meet Chris Reardon and to, you know, sing Chicago at his karaoke night. And I guess I just wasn't in a mood for it. And I do kind of feel bad about that now, because we went there to Belushi's in Hammersmith, and it's not that close to town. You have to take a train out of town, and it takes a while to get out there. Chris was busy, of course, and you know he apologized sort of on his show, his August 25th show. He talks a little bit about me coming and singing. Though he didn't really talk much about the singing part, I noticed. Was it that bad, Chris? Was it really that bad? We went in Chris was busy, but as soon as he was done doing what he was doing, he saw us there and he came and he immediately, you know, said hello, gave me a big hug. And it was very, very nice to meet Chris. Now, for those of you asking, well, what's Chris Reardon really like? Well, let me tell you, Chris Reardon in real life is exactly like Chris Reardon on his show. What you see is what you get. He doesn't put on an act on his show, as far as I can tell from meeting him in real life. He's a very, very nice man. That's kind of what he said about me, isn't it? He was working, so we didn't expect that we were going to have a lot of time to visit. I kind of regret that, because it was so nice to meet him, and I feel like we should have had more time. So maybe next time I go to the UK, maybe we can arrange to actually have a sit down with Chris when he's not working and actually have a real visit. Because, you know, I understood he was working and therefore he had things that he needed to be doing. But I think it would be very, very nice to sit down with Chris and have dinner or something and just, you know, chill out and have a nice conversation. That didn't happen this time, but, you know, maybe it'll happen another time. But he did come over quite a lot and talk to us whenever he could. And I felt that was very, very kind of him. Because, you know, we did come there to see him, and I really kind of regret I wasn't in a better mood to sing. Because I got up there in front of everyone and I did my song. And I guess it was okay. Paul said it was fine. And Paul is one of those people. Now, I've known him since I was 14 years old. So you can get a good idea. I'm almost 33 years or so that I've known Paul. He is not the sort of person who's going to try to flatter me. Yeah, I've known him for so long, and we've been best friends for so long that if I really stunk at singing, he would say, you know, that really stunk, and not feel guilty about it because he's one of the few people who can be that candid with me, and I won't get offended. But then, you know, I think that on any other night, I would have sang more than just the one number. And in fact, you know, the next day, a few days later, when we were on the train and even, you know, the first day that we were in Newcastle, I kept saying, you know, oh, yeah, I should have sung this song and I should have sung that song and I should have done this song, you know, because those days I actually felt like I was in the mood to do it. So I guess it's just unfortunate that I wasn't in a better mood, but what can you do? You know, I still had a good time. And I just wasn't that sociable. You know, I was really nice meeting Chris, and I really did enjoy the evening. And I have to tell you, Paul actually got very interested in Chris. He was asking me all kinds of questions. So, Chris, I think you have a secret admirer. I guess it's not really a secret. It's my friend Paul. He seems like he had a little man crush on Chris. And he kept asking me all these questions about him and his show. So I did actually send him a link to United Kingdom Talk, and maybe he'll get over it. Yeah, and keep in mind, this is my best friend who is straight. It's not. Yeah, I don't think he is actually interested in Chris in a romantic way or a sexual way, of course. But he did seem very interested in what he was doing. And anyway, so that was very nice. And look, Ross Patzalt said on his show the other day, which, by the way, is rosspatzalt.co.uk. And he said that he doesn't want to meet Chris because he's scared to. And I have to say, Ross, there's no reason to be scared of Chris. He's a perfectly nice guy. He's just like he is on his show. And if his show scares you, then, you know, so be it. But anybody who's going to the UK and is a fan of Reardon, listens to his show, go, by all means, go to karaoke night. He, you know, introduce yourself if he doesn't recognize you. He recognized me as soon as I walked in. I could see him, you know, he looked over and it's like, ah, there they are, and came right over to us when he had a chance. But the thing is, you know, he's not a very intimidating person. He's not a scary individual. But, you know, if you've been listening to his show at all, and I think most of us have, what you see is what you get. And he's a very, very pleasant individual, and it was very, very kind of him to spend as much time with us as he did. And we took a couple of photos with him, or I say Paul took a couple of photos, and Chris has posted the photo on his Facebook page, and I've actually kind of tagged it. So if you get a chance, you can see me with Chris Reardon. And it's such a horrible picture of me. It's that's the worst. Gee, thanks, Paul. I look like I swallowed a bug. I look like I didn't want to be there. And that's not the case. I actually rather enjoyed going to Belushi. So it is a good time. Yeah, Chris says I'm a very nice man because I didn't get drunk. What are you talking about, Chris? I don't get drunk. I've talked about that on my show. I've actually gone now off the alcohol. That is something I've been talking about doing for a while. And I drank a lot in Britain, because Britain has that pub culture. And especially after a long day of hiking, going to the pub is such a good thing. So, oh my God, look where the time has gone. I'm running out of time. So I guess I'm going to have to wrap up the show for now. There will be more next time. I'll talk more about London. I'll talk about my coffee with Mystery Woman. I'll be sure to talk about that next time. So I guess I'll see you folks later. This is Tom from Tom Harris USA signing off. We'll see you next time.